back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm Jay Probst.
And I'm Dr. Cash.
And today we're here with another daily recap for you guys. And you already know what time it is. NBA free agency day three. So still got the deals rolling in, unsurprisingly. And starting off, we'd like to go in depth in the Eric Gordon to the Phoenix Suns move. Dr. Cash, just break down, what are your thoughts? Because Gordon, he signed this contract despite offers from other contenders like Golden State and Milwaukee. He chose to go to the Suns.
Yeah, I think this move, along with what the Suns have done the last few days, it just makes perfect sense. Obviously, they're just trying to stack up and add depth with the limited funds they have right now because of the huge contracts they have with Ayton, Booker, Durant, and more importantly, Bradley Beal. But I think this Eric Gordon move, it brings not only veteranship experience, but, you know, just another piece that the Suns will be able to look to offensively. You can only have five players on the court. Four of them are going to be guarding all-star players. And if you're going to have an Eric Gordon open, a Utah one, a Nobby open, a Dame open. I mean, that's just all the Suns can ask for. And I think so far that front office has done an outstanding job given the amount of money they've had. And I think Gordon, he'll be an important part of this run that this Suns team makes because not only is he a player that just stands on the perimeter, he can move inside. I think he, with the Clippers, he kind of took some ill-advised shots because they kind of relied on him to be a point guard at times. He was kind of the facilitator, especially in that playoff series against the Suns when Kawhi was out. And I think that kind of threw him off his game a little bit. But I think one thing that's really important is that as he's able to return back to his normal role, how he played like in Houston before, that's where he'll be able to excel. And what better way to do it than play along some of the best scorers in the league?
Exactly. And I think him being one of the top six men, I mean, that was a few years ago, but he still has that kind of ability to play off of the creation of KD, Beal, Booker. And that's what you kind of want in your fifth guy on the lineup, on your guy in the bench kind of guy. I think that's what you want from him, and that's exactly what Eric Gordon brings. He can knock down shots, and he provides a serious arsenal of moves to get to the paint. I think pairing him, Yuta Watanabe, I think those two guys, you're just trying to get more shooting, because when you have Ayton in the paint, you want as much shooting outside around him, and that's kind of what they're doing. And it's pretty impressive that they've been able to sign these guys because of how limited amount of money they have. But I think it just kind of goes to show Phoenix has become this destination. Players are willing to take that pay cut in order to play alongside these superstars, and most likely they're chip chasing. Eric Gordon for sure is probably chip chasing, but that's how Phoenix is getting these guys. And I mean, that's how every team does it, right? You look at the Lakers, you look at the Warriors, the Celtics, they've all been doing that for such a long time. I mean, the Cavs used to do that so much. Just get these bargain guys and help fill out your roster and just make sure that they can at least shoot and at least play a little bit of defense. And that's exactly what Gordon does. So he fits that bill, and I think it's one smart signing after another for Phoenix as of right now.
Exactly. And like you said, it's just another piece that the Suns team need, and they went out and got it. So I think so far, obviously Suns fans aren't going to expect much more after this, but that team now has quite a bit of depth. They have the shooters. I just think one thing they might lack is a little bit of size in that center position, but you know, we're just going to have to see how Frank Vogel deals with that small ball.
Yep, for sure. I think that'll be interesting how they deal, because that's, if you look at the team, that's probably their one area of weakness. But moving on to arguably one of the best centers of the postseason, Domantas Sabonis, and the Sacramento Kings agreeing to extend and renegotiate his contract. He's agreeing to a $217 million five-season extension. That includes $195 million of new money, so kind of that much added on to his old contract. But the big caveat here, I think, that a lot of people have been pointing out is that Sabonis is not using up, I guess he's not taking the maximum deal that he could have gotten. He wants the Kings organization to prioritize roster building. He's kind of taking one for the team, even though he's still making like $30 million a year. But yeah, it's big time for the Kings because he was their, arguably, I would say, one of the better defenders, and he played really well with Fox. So locking him up long-term, you had to do it. And the fact that he's giving you guys a little breathing room is just so much better. And I think they already started using some of that re-signing Harrison Barnes, yep, to a three-year $53 million contract. So, Cash, what do you think, I guess, because we all know Sabonis is so important to the Kings. What about his decision, I guess, to take that, give the Kings a little bit more roster flexibility?
I think, really, it's what kind of got this deal done was the culture that the Kings have built over this past season. You know,
yeah,
they finally made the playoffs. I think the players and this organization as a whole kind of saw how the fans came together, rallied around the team, just because their success meant so much to that city, to that community. And it was massive. And as we can see right now, I think that's one of the main reasons Sabonis decided to kind of take a pay cut, help this Kings team get some more help, get free agents, and because that's just how bad they want to win, and they know the city deserves it. And I think, yeah, it really speaks a lot for that culture, that fan base. But overall, yeah, great move retaining him as well as Harrison Barnes, who, you know, I mean, he didn't have the greatest time in the playoffs, but I think that he's still a solid player. Obviously, he brings that championship experience to Sacramento. He's been there for a while now. So I think getting those two locked up is pretty big.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it's more about what this signifies, the culture that Sacramento is building. I mean, when you can have your star player say that he's willing to take less money, that really means because he believes in what you're building. He wants as much ability to further that project because he believes in that. He wants to be there long term. And I think just with Mark Jackson and just the whole change in leadership, really, in 1 year, it's been so surprising. I mean, we talked about this when we were talking in the playoffs about the beam, about the team, how they almost beat the Warriors. But I man, it's just kind of mind-boggling still to think about how much this team, which, I mean, before this season, we kind of saw them as one of those teams where you go to waste away your career. But they've done a complete 360. I mean, you have head coaching change. Sabonis goes in there. You're actively chasing a contention for success. And I guess, I mean, that culture is infectious, man. People love winning, and as you can tell, people will they'll take pay cuts because they love winning that much. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now. And it's good for the Kings because, you know, you like to see them see a team that's sucked for so long really succeed.
Yeah, and it's like I said, this is purely culture based, and I'd like to see it happen more in the NBA because it just gives teams a lot more flexibility. But other than that, I think that this Kings team still has a bright future. They have a mix of veterans and young talent, Keegan Murray, Davion Mitchell, and they're going to be on the upcome. They've kind of turned that path around from being one of the worst organizations in the NBA. But I think, speaking of another one of the worst organizations in the NBA, if not the worst right now, the Charlotte Hornets made a move today on Miles Bridges. They offered him the qualifying offer. And for those of you guys who don't know what it is, it's essentially an offer for a guaranteed one-year deal. And if the player signs it, he's signed through that season and then becomes an unrestricted free agent for the season after. Bridges signed it. It was an offer for $7.9 million. And Woj is still reporting that him and the Hornets are far away from an extension as it lies. But what do you think about the situation? He still has 10 games left to serve out of that 30-game suspension. And obviously, we know how great of a player he is, but it's just the off-the-court issue that he's having to go through right now and the consequences.
Yeah, I think that's what you look at. For a lot of these, for Bridges and specifically, I think his just that culture kind of that you're trying to build there, it kind of, I don't know, I feel like just signing someone that's had all these reports come out, he's serving a suspension, you look at it and you're like, is that the kind of guy we want in the locker room? Is that the kind of guy we want to build our culture around? Because he is still a really good player. You're going to be building your team around him if you re-sign him. And so I really don't know. I can't answer that question. Steve Clifford, the Hornets organization, they're going to have to answer that question. Because if it doesn't work out, if he's still the issues, if it's still if there are still issues, it's most definitely going to distract the team. I don't know. I feel like that's just, you kind of have to wait and see, because it could be all under the rug once he serves a suspension and everything goes away. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's obviously always going to be underlying issues because it happened and that's not something you kind of just forget about. So I think the Hornets, if you're trying to move on and you're trying to, because you have young guys, you have LaMelo, Brandon Miller, who just drafted, you're trying to build around those guys. I don't know. I just don't feel like it's right bringing someone who, with these allegations, with the suspension, is kind of like a cancer in the locker room. I don't feel like you want to bring that guy in. But it's going to be up to the coach and really up to his teammates to really put that beside them and just play basketball.
Yeah, I completely agree with you here, because the part of me wants to see this Hornets team succeed, but they're driven by young talent right now. They don't have that many veterans. They have Gordon Hayward, but you know, he could be gone any second. You know, that contract is pretty terrible and he doesn't fit the timeline for this team. And other than that, they really don't have many veterans. And that's one of the big things when you bring back a player with these kinds of allegations. You kind of want that veteran to be there to kind of settle the locker room down and not move on from the situation, but kind of just give the thoughts and set the focus for things going on the court. And I think with this Hornets team just lacking veterans to the max, I don't know if bringing Bridges back is the right option, but you know, this team, like the Kings, they're desperate to get to the playoffs, to bring that city of Charlotte playoff basketball, bring excitement. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but
yeah, for sure. And I think when you have the expectations of someone like MJ as the owner, even though he might be selling the team, I think that just fuels it even more. You're trying to get really just as much talent, and I feel like that's been their problem. They've just been chasing talent, really, and they haven't really tried to build a culture. That's exactly what we saw Sacramento do. They signing Mark Jackson, they brought in Sabonis, and they built a culture, and that's kind of what you need to succeed. Talking about, I guess, building culture, and transitioning kind of over to soccer, our American, Captain America, as people like to call him, Christian Pulisic. Right now, all indications are looking like he is going to be an AC Milan player next year. Negotiations ongoing with Chelsea. They are looking around paying that $25 to $20 million transfer fee. And if that happens, you'd be looking at Pulisic playing with the likes of Olivier Giroud, Rafael Leao in a Serie A team, Serie A league that is, I mean, he's going to have fun and he's going to play really well.
Yeah, I think this move, it makes a lot of sense, obviously, for Pulisic's career as Chelsea have transitioned into even younger talent to fill his spot. To me, it's just going to be really interesting to see how this AC Milan staff incorporates Pulisic in the lineup, because we know he likes to play on that left wing, but that's where they have their star boy, their future, Rafael Leao, playing. So I think we could see Pulisic play in the midfield or have him switch over to right wing, where currently I believe it was one point it was Alexis Salamakers playing right wing. But for a little bit, they had, I think it was Junior Messias playing right wing, however you say it. But obviously, Pulisic would be an upgrade there. I think really what this AC Milan team needs to prioritize is getting another striker. I'm not saying right now Olivier Giroud is bad, but obviously long term, he's not what you're looking for. And when you have these two talents here on the wings, I think it's important that they find a center forward who can run fast and who can keep up with those two wings. But overall, I think this makes sense for both sides. It's just going to be interesting to see how they kind of switch up that lineup.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it would be a great opportunity for Pulisic, because he is getting absolutely zero playing time at Chelsea. So just going somewhere where he can try and at least fight for playing time. I think we could possibly see him in that number 10 role that Brahim Diaz was last year. And he obviously going to Real Madrid. So I think that's possibly a void that could be filled by Pulisic here. But yeah, I think it's just a good opportunity for him and just American football. I mean, I talked about Timothy Weah going to Juve yesterday. Just these big moves. Ricardo Pepi as well going to the Eredivisie. I think just getting Americans into these bigger leagues, bigger teams, and then being able to compete and fight, that's just going to make our soccer team, the U.S. men's team, so much better. But moving on to, I feel like after the Declan Rice deal, after Kylian Mbappe saga has kind of died down, we're not really left with that big saga anymore. But it looks like the biggest one that we have right now is Man City chasing Josko Gvardiol of RB Leipzig in Croatia. He one of the best defenders at the World Cup, and RB Leipzig are asking for £100 million, €100 million for his release clause. Pretty big bucks, but I mean, would that addition make this Man City defense the best in the Prem?
I think right now they already are the best in the Prem. They have everything a good defense needs to have. You look at Ruben Diaz. They had John Stones switch over to midfield, in which he still excelled, playing that CDM role. I think having
Akanji.
Yeah, you have Manuel Akanji. Obviously, Aymeric Laporte, he will be leaving. However, I think that just having that depth for Man City is huge for Pep's team, because I think not only is it that starting 11 what makes Man City so dominant, but it's just the depth. And they might be letting go of Kyle Walker, which I think Guardiola might. I wouldn't say he'll take that replacement. It just depends formation-wise what Pep wants to do. But I think he will most definitely be a starter. It's just how soon and really what Pep wants to do tactically.
Yeah, I think you bring up probably the biggest point here is Manchester City's depth. I think that's kind of how they've been winning so many Prems, how they won the Champions League. I think And just bringing Vardiol, I think that just builds on that depth, because at center back, you're kind of looking at it. Ruben Dias, he's probably your best. He is your best defender. And then you have a bunch of other guys, a bunch of right-sided center backs. So you're kind of just looking for depth behind Dias. You're looking for someone who can come in and play now, but also be your future. I think that's something that Vardiol brings, and I think that's kind of why City are so adamant on getting this deal done, even if they have to pay 100 million. But yeah, I think it's a big signing, and we'll see what happens. See how big of a signing it is to kind of compensate all the losses that reportedly, and I mean, are going on right now in City.
Yeah, I think right after winning that Champions League final, obviously, they have Kyle Walker potentially leaving. Joao Cancelo, who came back from Bayern on loan, will be leaving. Mm-hmm. But they've just done such a good job at replacing all these guys that they've lost in the past. And obviously, potentially, Bernardo Silva might be leaving, whether that be to Saudi Arabia or to Paris Saint-Germain. I if I'm a City fan, which I'm not, but if I was, I'd have complete trust in this board, this office, to do what's best for the team, to find a replacement quickly, and not just the best one for short term, but long term, because that's how this team looks. That's how the manager tries to identify his players. He doesn't look for short term solutions, really. You look at that mm-hmm. team, and they're kind of all built. They're in their low to mid 20s. And if not, if they were in their 30s, they've been at City for 8-9 years. And I think that's just something Pep has always been a fan of, and it's paid off. It's been huge for this team.
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, like you said, depth, you just got more depth, and more depth. But that wraps up our podcast today. A little bit longer episode, but thank you all so much for watching. Make sure to keep listening, because we do post these daily. So just your little quick 10-20 minute energizer of sports information. And also make sure to check out all our Instagrams and social medias. Twitter, like I said, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you are, really we are. And again, thank y'all so much for watching. Peace.